God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Let's take a break. Not a commercial break. Let's take a break. Let's take a breath. Let's ask a question. Are we overreacting? There's a lot to talk about. In fact, if I were to go count the audio clips in today's first segment, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 6. A lot of it's important-ish news. Important-ish. But are we overreacting? I don't know about you, but my adrenaline's up. The thought that Kamala Harris could be president of the United States has my adrenaline up. She is a wantonly duplicitous, obviously craven, clearly spiritually corrupted woman who seeks to serve her own interests, and she could be president. And are we overreacting? It's clear to me that there was a decision made at the top of some echelon somewhere to simply say, in regard to President Trump, on July 13th, just let one get through. Someone somewhere, or someone's somewhere, made the decision to, hey, why don't we just have lesser trained agents around Trump? Why don't we just toss in some women who, no offense to women in general, because I happen to attend a CrossFit gym with a former LAPD cop whose husband is a Navy SEAL sniper, retired, and I'm here to tell you, you're not going to get the drop on Vicky. You're not. But those two women were demonstrably incapable of doing the job. To me, very obvious. Just let one get through. But are we overreacting? An attempt to murder a presidential candidate is about as serious as it gets. But are we overreacting? I know my adrenaline's up. I drink a ton of coffee. I take a ton of caffeine for what I do and how I do it. And I'm stopping and checking myself. Is this a caffeine high? Mm-mm. Nope, it's one of those days. It only happens on AFR. That's not true. Occasionally in my podcast, God leaps in at the last second and says, nope, 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 nope. So God did this today. And just before I began speaking, I heard the Lord say, take a breath. Maybe he's saying to us, be still and know that I'm the Lord. I've heard that described as sort of the Zen idea of God saying, hey, chill, man. Chill, be cool. I think a more accurate translation is an order. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. There's now news, of course, the now resigned and disgraced Kimberly Cheadle, former Secret Service director, testified that darn the luck, they didn't record the radio traffic on the July 13th event. Just didn't. Just like the cameras outside of Jeffrey Epstein's cells were broken, or cell was broken. Just like the cameras inside the cell were broken. Just like the guards fell asleep. Just like the 911 call from the jail to medical authorities got erased. Just like the text messages on January 6th from Secret Service agents and leaders got erased. Just doing a system-wide update. Darn it. They got erased, and there were no backups. That drives me crazy. But are we overreacting? Be still and know that I am the Lord. So much to look at when we're asked to be in the world and not of it, because the world is tempting, like you. I had a lot of suspicions about this conversation between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. I mean, listen here, Kamala Harris almost said recording.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call, and we've been talking every day. You guys heard it from Doug's voice. We love Joe and Jill.
She almost said recording. Back in the day when I did radio for a living, first time around, talk radio, I wanted to be infamous. That was the game. And I created a horrible, loathsome character, a guy named Fremont, who was a regular caller to other shows and became infamous. Terrible character. And someone kind of caught on to the idea that I was Fremont. So listeners started to say on other programs, oh, we know Todd's really Fremont. So one day I had a conversation with Fremont. I recorded his parts and then I did my parts live. And it sounded like we were arguing with each other. Easy, easy game. Am I saying that's what happened? No, but I'm saying this. They have lied about the most substantive things on earth. Are we overreacting? Right now, I'm just shutting my eyes because I feel like God just put something into my mind, which is his throne. I've never had that happen to me before. I mean, I can't picture God, not in any accuracy, but I can picture a throne. And I can picture God saying, you know, I'm right here. It's like the Lord Jesus in the boat. The disciples overreacted. We're going to die. We're going to be dumped into the Sea of Galilee. You are? The living God's right there with you. There are so many things, news events in the world about which we can overreact. I spoke of the now resigned and disgraced former Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. She was questioned by Representative Nancy Mace, and Nancy Mace's first question cut right to the chase.
Most of my questions are going to demand a yes or no answer. Do you understand?
I do.
Okay, my first question. Both sides of the aisle today have asked for your resignation. Would you like to use my 5 minutes to draft your resignation letter, yes or no?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Well, she did it apparently the next day. So many things to draw attention to the world as we're speaking right now. As this show is ongoing, there is a literally coordinated effort by the Mockingbird Media to pretend that Kamala Harris was never border czar. Axios, as mobbed up a political journalism entity as you can find, is now editing its coverage all the way back to a piece in 2021 where they called her the border czar. They're now editing that. Why? Because someone at the White House said, oh, no, she was never the czar. It's a word game that the press is participating in. Drives me crazy. They're lying. They're trying to rig another election by Orwelling the truth about what she was given a task of running, directing, being the boss of the border. But am I overreacting? So as Kimberly Cheadle sat and did her best to not answer questions, Nancy Mace did her best to get them answered. And in the following questions from Nancy Mace, Cheadle attempts to claim that the Secret Service has been eager to transparently answer any questions.
Was this a colossal failure?
It was a failure.
Yes or no? Was it a colossal failure is the question. Yes or no?
I have admitted this is a terrible...
This is a yes or no series of questions. Was this a colossal failure? Yes or no?
Yes.
Was this tragedy preventable? Yes or no?
Yes.
Has the Secret Service been transparent with this committee?
Yes.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been
yes
eager to
or no. You didn't want to answer the question.
Committee.
We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier Secret Service is not political. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's Playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political, yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's... So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask unanimous consent to enter into the record articles by Punchbowl News, Political Playbook, Washington Post, all done at 5:24 a.m., 6:12 a.m., 6:34 a.m., a solid 3 to 4 hours before this committee got your statement.
Without objection, so ordered.
So much in the world that can draw our attention. What is the top story? Figurehead Biden's not running. Is that the top story? Kamala Harris is running. She has suddenly $50 million. Gosh, how did that happen? Was it through Act Blue where you launder money? So it can come from foreign donors, as everybody in the political game absolutely knows for certain happens? Is it the fact that the figurehead's going to apparently now give a statement to actually appear in person before cameras to explain why, though he was the only choice, the only guy who could save America 3 weeks ago, is now just going to govern because he can't run, because he's not fit, but he's fit to govern the country? Is that the top story? What is the top story to God? Be still and know I'm the Lord. Is that it? If your blood pressure, if your adrenaline has been up in this time, how much time have you had to focus on the main thing? Does that happen to you? Happens to me. I can't tell you how often I wake disappointed in myself, that my first thought is not of God. Sometimes not my second, third, fourth, or fifth. I'm in a season where my prayer is really a conversation ongoing with God throughout the day, an ongoing series of apologies and questions, speaking that out loud, and we go through seasons. But are we overreacting? If America is the lifeboat of the world, and it has been, we are 5% of the world's population. We have taken in at least 20% of the world's displaced peoples. We pay the bills at the corrupt UN. We pay the bills for the world finance system, for the world's defense mechanism. That's our armed forces. We've been given all these resources to steward the world's lifeboat in a sea of Galilee. And suddenly the waves are up. And like the apostles, probably our heart rates are up as well. And so the main thing becomes the storm and the waves. When in fact the main thing was the living God, who can simply say to the oceans and the waves and the winds, be quiet. Or we could take his word to heart and still our hearts and know he is the Lord. He is the Lord. I don't know where the show's going next. No idea. But we will come back. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, something you can do to set a young life on the absolute right path. I recently had, and I shared this with you, I had the privilege of co-leading at a youth camp for a church, 450 young people. In our case, my friend Jonathan and I, Jonathan is a remarkable 17-year-old. He's a boy, but man, 17 years old, helped me lead a group of middle school kids, now in the first year of high school. And I met a young man who'd never had a Bible. And he's 13. He's involved in the criminal justice system in not the best way. He is a sweet, sweet young man. That little boy's in there. I was the first man who ever read to him from the Bible. God let me do that. God let me sit there and watch this tough kid's eyes light up as I read to him from Genesis. And on the second day of camp, when things were getting changed and the schedule was getting messed up, this young man said to me, Todd, we're still going to read, right? And I said, yeah, we're going to read, bud. At that reading, he said something remarkable to me. It's both beautiful and sad all at once. He stopped me and said, you know, Todd, can I say something? I said, sure. Dads should read to their sons. Really, they should. This boy had never been read to. In his culture, he was unfamiliar with dads reading to their sons. And that was the first time anyone had ever sat with him and read him the Bible. We're going to talk with Ann Cockrell coming up, Bibles for Babies. You have an opportunity to make sure that doesn't happen again. We talked in the last segments, the show, once again, this happens from time to time, really only on AFR because of what this network is. This network is such a vital thing because live radio allows people to accidentally tune in and they're hearing news, they're hearing a discussion of the assassination attempt. I believe it was a purposeful decision to let one assassin have a good shot at Trump. I think a lot more is going to come out about that, including, I think, involvement from D.C. with this shooter. I think there's plenty of evidence indicating that. The government has done not worse things, but they've done things close to as bad in the last 2 years. So we talked about that, and then I was just asking this question, are we overreacting? Because God still sits on the throne. And God served me an image of the throne. That's never happened to me. So I think what God wanted me to ask us today is, are we really okay knowing that, yeah, we're in a raft and, man, the waters are shaky and it's the Sea of Galilee and it feels like everything's falling apart and he's still in the raft. He is the storm. Sometimes he allows the storm to happen. Sometimes he is the storm. In either case, it's for our good. We were blessed this week from our podcast. We've started a YouTube channel, and I mean, it's been there, but it's been dormant because I don't want to work with Alphabet, the company that owns Google. I believe Google is at heart a company through whom great evil is done, but something remarkable is happening on their YouTube platform, and that is that young men are using it to find out about Jesus Christ. Really, they are. They're searching. Phrases like, is Jesus real? Did Jesus exist? What is Christian marriage? And so they're using that platform. We were blessed with a video that just blew up. It got 10,000 views in a matter of a couple of hours. And it's simply a video of me praying for the figurehead, Biden. And this happened during a day. I'd issued a statement earlier about the figurehead stepping down, put that up, and that did okay. But I was wrapping up an exercise round, and you guys know I'm building up to do this seal fit thing. I'm going to work out, by the way, for 24 straight hours coming up this weekend. I'd appreciate your prayers that I don't collapse. So I was wrapping up this running in my dark pants and dark shirts and this weighted vest, and it was 103 degrees air temp, meaning when I was running on the road, it was like 127 degrees. I had a weightlifting session in the middle of that, went out back for another run. And it was as I was cooling down from that run, I realized God had given me the ability to pray for Biden. He actually gave it to me. I actually felt sad for that man, for his soul. So I whipped out my cell phone, I recorded a video, and it was just me begging the figurehead Biden to repent, to remember when he was a little boy and God meant something to him, when that at some point he was an innocent child. And in that video, God reminded me, because there are trees all around me. I live up in the hills. There are trees all around me, and God spoke into this saying, hey, about that log in your eye. So he caused me to say that into the camera. Hey, I know I've got my faults. I'm in a season of wrestling with God. I really can't tell you that enough. I am in that season. I just want you to know that. So this video went viral, and it was amazing. Some of the commentary that people had. One guy wrote in and said, you conservatives think Biden's going to hell, but Trump is a godly man. This is why I hate you. And a longtime listener to my program wrote back and said, actually, Todd has been praying for President Trump to come fully to God. He's prayed for humility for the president. He's prayed that President Trump is truly saved. That person didn't reply, but they learned something. But there was also this. We did a follow-up video where I mentioned that the Lord Jesus, and we read this in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. It says, peace, not peace, but division. I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I'm under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there'll be five in one family divided against one another, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You know the rest of this, obviously. And I mentioned that the Lord Jesus didn't, I don't believe he said, I intend to divide, I have come to divide. Why? Well, in the video, I said because God, and Jesus is and was God, always will be part of the Godhead, is truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is truth. In a world steeped in lies, the presence of truth will divide. By the very nature of the fact that it is inarguable truth, it will divide. And in that follow-up video, it was remarkable the number of people who had never heard this of Jesus Christ on that platform, YouTube, searching for truth about Jesus. They get one of two things, usually. That is what C.S. Lewis called the soft soap Jesus, just all forgiveness and accepting of all things. Or they get the perverted view of Jesus being marketed, a hater. It's repugnant to think of. But they'd never heard. So many people in the comment sections had never heard the idea that God is truth. And that's why it's so important that networks like AFR, well, and we're really just standalone. AFR.net is where you make your monthly donations. We just really stand alone. We get to bring on people like Ann Cockrell with Bibles for Babies. You have an opportunity to make sure that no baby grows up without a Bible. And I'm so appreciative of your time. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman.
Hey, Todd. I'm so glad to be here.
You get to be in studio. You get to sit next to Randy. I'm a little bit jealous. I've never met my friend in person.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Mr. Randy's awesome. So you got to come meet him sometime.
Oh, I'm coming down. I can't wait to come down there. So can you talk to me about Hannah's Heart and Bibles for Babies? And let's just start at the very, very beginning. You tell the story. You're an expert at this. What do people need to know?
Okay, so Hannah's Heart, for anyone who might not know what that ministry is here under AFA, it's a ministry that started working on 3 years ago that focuses on couples who have struggled with infertility, miscarriage, child loss, that type of thing. It has definitely grown to more of also covering topics as adoption and foster care and just unique ways of how the Lord sees fit to grow a family and how people's lives sometimes look a lot different than what we would have pictured our lives looking like. And right then, it might feel like your life isn't what it should look like right now. But then just watching how the Lord lets your story unfold, if we truly let him. Those are the kind of things that we like to cover on our program. And so As I've been a co-host for Hannah's Heart and involved in that ministry, I struggled with infertility. My husband and I did before the ministry started. And so that is where the idea of Hannah's Heart came from for AFA. But during that time, I got pregnant and we had our miracle baby girl. And then not long after her first birthday, I found that I was pregnant again with our miracle baby boy. But our baby boy, John Micah, he was in my womb for 26 weeks and on earth for 27 minutes and now in glory for eternity. And that is my sweet boy in a little nutshell. But his birthday, we celebrated his birthday for the first time last Wednesday, July 17th. And I just knew as a mama, you know, he wasn't going to be here to open presents or to blow out candles, but I had to celebrate him somehow. And I wanted it to be bigger than, I don't know, doing a little make-believe party at our house for him. And so I went to my co-host and talked to her about what it might could look like. And then we went to leadership with an idea. And so that's how we kind of came up with the idea of helping our local pregnancy center here in Tupelo, Parkgate Pregnancy Center. It is a place near and dear to my heart. I used to work there before I worked at AFA, and my pastor's wife, Andrea, is the director there now. And if anyone has listened to Andrea and Matt's story on Hannah's Heart, they are so near and dear to Job's heart. That is the only way I can describe their story, from multiple miscarriages to their three-year-old passing away unexpectedly to her getting a breast cancer that grew with estrogen and then finding out she was pregnant a few days later with their little boy. And so they have been through so much, and yet they still choose to serve the Lord in every way possible. And so I talked with Andrea about what it could look like to help Parkgate. And last year they started they gave away Bibles to any woman who comes into Parkgate Pregnancy Center and has a positive pregnancy test. They now give the New Beginner's Bible to that mama that with an unexpected pregnancy. And the Lord has just used these Bibles. They've even had a mama, you were just talking about someone, a 17-year-old not ever having a Bible read to him. This mama had somewhat of the same story. She had never had her own Bible. I believe she was 19, and they give her this Bible. She came in the clinic alone, had the positive pregnancy test. She takes this Bible home, this New Beginner's Bible, and reads it to her baby in her belly and read the whole thing, and then came back a few days later to Parkgate and said she wanted to become a Jesus follower. She wanted to ask Jesus into her heart. And so, I mean, how do we not just give praise to that this soul was lost and she had a baby on the way, and then all the step had to be was to give this sweet girl a New Beginner's Bible, and God used that baby Bible to bring this mama to come to know him, and then hopefully for this little one that she chose to give life to bring this little one to grow up knowing about Jesus too. So that is where this idea came from.
Praise God. And it's there's a lot to say about Bibles in households. It gives you the opportunity, of course, to share the Bible. Mm. The presence of books in households maps back to mental health and achievement.
Yeah.
And, of course, that you can't get healthier than the Bible. And I can just testify to everybody. I appreciate you hearing me tell that story about this young man. He's 13 or 14.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And No, it's so kind of you to even remember. But if you've never looked in the eyes of a kid who is, some would call a juvenile delinquent, and you see through that, and this tough exterior, this kid who likes to fight and play combat sports, and I saw the little boy, and I saw him lean in to look at the words in Genesis, as I underlined some with my finger, and he answered questions, sometimes brave enough to say, I don't know, then you can't know what it is to witness God touching a young man through the tangible word. For the first time, tangible meaning that he has now a Bible. So you can help with this. It's AFR.net, Bibles for Babies. And it's a $10. It's a one-time gift of $10. It's going to provide a one new Bible for a precious new life on earth. And you can also call 877-616-2396. And let's just remember this, that that doesn't stop at the family having a Bible. If that Bible is read and that Bible is studied and that Bible is loved, you know, just think of what you have in terms of the follow-on effect, or what, say the butterfly effect of disciple making.
That's so true.
And this blessed ministry, as you continue on this, is there anything else you want from us? I mean, we've got the money, AFR.net, Bibles for Babies, $10 one time. What do you need from us in addition to that?
Oh, wow. You know, I know this is, you know, listened to around the world. And so just for however someone feels led to help when we're in our weight, when we're walking through hard times, to not waste that weight and to see how the Lord can continue to use you even if we're walking through a valley during that time.
Praise God. Praise God. Beautifully said. What a pleasure to meet you. I can't wait to meet you in person. Yeah. And do me a favor, give my friend Randy a handshake. I've never got to do that. So we'll do that from afar. We'll come back on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babel coming up here. There are a couple things I wanted to address, just program-wide. I played a clip of a pastor the other day, a woman who gets to call herself a Lutheran pastor who denies that the Great Commission is gospel. She considers the Great Commission to be perhaps the original sin of Christianity. She contends that it is responsible for racism and division and hatred. She refuses to teach it as the gospel. And I'm working on finding her name. This came through several research. I follow a couple of different sources who look at apostate pastors. And I will get you the web address that she promotes in her video. Just I want to make sure I have it right, and we can track her down that way. Just know that. And sorry for being sloppy. I should have had her name when we did that. So we're going to track that down. This is another case like this. This just happens to come from libs of TikTok, who was tracking the response of liberal Americans, some liberal Americans, to the attempted assassination of President Trump and the death of Corey Compentori. So far, the prevailing wisdom among many on the left is that it is anti-Christian to say God save President Trump. Joy Behar says it is anti-Christian to say God sees you. Remarkable that we have a Bible that calls God the God who sees, and yet Joy Behar, describing herself as a Christian and Catholic, says it is anti-Christian to say God sees you in a time of trouble. Because to say that God saw President Trump means that God didn't see Corey Compentori. It is such an unbelievably box-shaped limit for who God is. God saw everybody. He sees everybody. He saw this happening before it occurred. He knows how it ends. He'd made a different decision with Corey Compentori. Why? Perhaps so we could have a juxtaposition of someone so bent with hatred that he intended to murder President Trump, who was so fortunate to have God turn his head, and in the background, a man who knew love, willing to give his life for others. It's almost biblical. Hatred, the fortune of God turning the head of this leader at this time, and in the background, a man who led as a volunteer fire chief, who led until his last moment protecting his family. So from Libs of TikTok, this is a psychologist who goes after the widow of Corey Compentori, the volunteer fire chief who sacrificed his life for his family, as un-American.
It's un-American to not take a phone call from the president, even if he represents a party that you are in opposition to. I'm sorry. You can grieve however you want, and this won't reach the widow and the family members of the people who, you know, the man who died over the weekend. But the president of the country represents us. That's their job. And if the president is calling to express sympathy on behalf of America, and you don't want to take the call because he's a Democrat, and you were just at a Trump rally where, by the way, you got shot at, you know, it's not like Biden did it. I think it's un-American. She could do whatever she wants, whatever. I would note that Trump put out a little tweet, and he did not recognize that family at first. Yes, I know they're raising money. He's not giving money. He's raising more money, like, out of another fund, as far as I understand. But still, my point is not that. My point is it's un-American. The president is the president.
So if you refuse to take a phone call from a man who hates you, you're un-American. The figurehead Biden has expressed such utter disdain for people who would vote for President Trump in his actions, censoring them on social media, deplatforming them, locking them up. Grandmas who simply walked through the open doors of the Capitol, who bothered no one, stayed within the red velvet ropes, took a selfie, prayed, and went home, are in prison. Utter disdain. Utter disdain for the choice to vote for President Trump, with the obviously White House run efforts to put him in prison, to take him off the ballots, obviously White House run. And on that day, the Compentore family was no doubt aware that that shooter had been on that rooftop for 20 minutes, that the shooting need not have happened, that everything that could be done to welcome an assassination attempt was done. Exactly what else could they have done to welcome an assassination attempt? Seriously, think of this. The one thing they could have done is put out an ad that said, "Assassins welcome." There's nothing else they could have done to have made it easier without being, without placing the gunman on stage. So this family didn't want to take a call from a figurehead who they also know is mentally gone, who himself is suffering probably from Parkinson's and not really even aware of what happened. To make a decision should not be involved in that ritual, I think, is understandable. And I think the thought that we owe a man like Biden our time, I think that's probably un-American. We owe him our prayers. It's not a debt to him. It's a debt to our Creator, who told us to pray for our enemies. And I do believe that with whatever mental faculties he has left, I do believe that Joe Biden, sadly, is our enemy. And despite that fact, we do something weird in this program. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling that I think prove our point here. Figurehead Biden was allowed by his bosses to talk about the attempted assassination of President Trump. As you might expect, it did not go well.
Is it acceptable that you have still not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service director?
Well, I've heard from him.
But have you heard from her publicly?
publicly. I've sat down in a situation room downstairs with the Secret Service, the FBI, the National Security Agencies, the Homeland Security, all the major elements.
Did you catch it? Is it acceptable that you've not heard, at least publicly, from the Secret Service Director? Biden. Oh, I've heard from him. Kimberly Cheadle is a woman and now, thank God, has resigned and will hopefully not be done prosecuting or being prosecuted, questioned, and will be prosecuted. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. And I struggle to use this phrase. I don't know how else to put it. And I hope it doesn't offend. Maybe it wasn't just Willie Brown who Kamala Harris sexually serviced. She did hang out with Montel Williams. He introduced her in this video from Inside Edition.
Long before she met Doug Emhoff, she dated some prominent men, including in 2001, former talk show host Montel Williams. Back then, he was the famous one and had to introduce her to the paparazzi. Now the whole world knows who she is.
Kamala Harris does not come from a background with lack of privilege. Both of her parents have advanced degrees from Berkeley. She went to Howard University, then she went to Berkeley. She is not of the black culture that the Democrat Party tries to promote. The Democrat Party promotes black culture as victim and or thug, but always virtuous. Always virtuous. The part of Kami's family that is not black, the Indian part, was how she had chosen to identify all those years. And for her father's side, of course, he comes from a slave-owning family. But Kamala Harris is the great hope of black Americans having decided to now be black. I mean it when I say that people can become the lie. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Of course, Kamala Harris has grown into a mature, thoughtful leader. Just kidding. Here she is pretending to know about Ukraine.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Basically, that's wrong. I had a, there's a rule my favorite teacher had, John Traynor, God rest him. He called that a blank word. No, not a expletive deleted. He called it a blank word. A word better left blank. Basically wrong. And yet we're being told that she's a great orator. And at the same time, behind the scenes, as this show is going on, right now, a concerted effort in the Mockingbird media to erase the fact that she was responsible for the border under figurehead Biden. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
The very idea that it is unchristian to say that God sees you is weird. Well, it's weird this way, and it's weird because if we believe in a God, as Joy Behar does, contend to believe, then we believe in omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, seeing us. But sometimes I think we convince ourselves that God doesn't hear us or doesn't want to hear from us. Have you ever been in moments where you're blocked from prayer? You find yourself blocked from truly praying. And maybe it's because you know there's an answer coming. And it might not be the answer you want. See, God who sees, the God who sees, the one and only God, the God of the Bible, he doesn't just see, he knows, because he is knowledge. So when we get in those moments, and I've been in those moments, where you just can't pray. God knows when you're going to come out of that. He knows what's blocking you. So maybe one of the things we can do is say to the Lord, remove what blocks me from praying. The longest time I went without prayer was about 3 years. And it was when I came back from Washington, D.C. And I perceived in God this anger at me for having been involved in politics. I think I've told you the story that after we got Nancy Pelosi fired as Speaker of the House and we installed a more conservative majority, and during that time, it was politically satisfying. We did what we were to do in the midterms, and we set some records doing it, and that felt very good from a prideful sense. But I knew that I had involved myself in purposely dividing Americans. And I walked into that church. I think I've told you this story. After going to the gym, I walked into a church. It happened to be a Catholic church. And I knelt down, and I began to pray. And then I began weeping. And the only words that would leave my mouth were, "Oh, dear Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry." And I was weeping. And the priest exited the back room and walked and began to approach me. And then he and I looked at each other, and he saw my eyes filled with tears, and he saw me on my knees. And I perceived in him this knowledge that, oh yeah, I've seen this before. Yeah, another one of those. And I left town about 2 weeks later, which was the agreement. And just before I drove across the Continental Divide, I wrote my resignation note, made it official. I was resigning. Sent that to the chief of staff, who was a very decent man. He wanted to call and discuss it, but I said, "Now, Mike, the decision's made. I'll help you like transition, but the decision's made." For 3 years, I couldn't pray, or could I? See, when I got home, we just faced all these insane problems with water. Water on our roof. Our roof wouldn't stop leaking, and then a water leak in this house that had never had a water leak. And this water was assaulting us. A pipe broke, and just water everywhere. All of a sudden, we were just absolutely besieged by water, and I felt that it was this storm. It was God pouring out anger on me because of what I'd done in D.C. And what finally brought me back to prayer? It was a simple thing. It was this. My little girl said, "Will you pray with me?" The water wasn't anger. It was water. The word for my little daughter, "Will you pray with me?" That was the word. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Until God decides you and I can speak again together, may His peace wash over you, water-like. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been The Disciples' View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.